I'm Chicago Blaxican. I'm the founder of Operation Chicago. And the name of my movie is Operation Chicago. The name of my recording studio is Operation Chicago. And what Operation Chicago is about an ex-CIA agent who doesn't like the crime or corruption, so he decides to fix it.
Hey, it's Kellen, and today on Diversified Game, you guys, I've been doing some stuff on Chicago. We're representing, though, Chicago Blaxican, so I got to throw the Mexican in. You guys know, as a resident of Mexico, I have to be excited to see how this game goes from Chicago all the way to Mexico to Africa, right? We're going to do it today with Chicago Blaxican. You might say Chicago Blaxican, he looks familiar. I'm going to let you go do a deep dive, and you can Google the name and you will see things from CVS was just hating on him for having a helicopter. Before that, American Greed, he starred in his own episode. So he's meant for the limelight, and he has a new movie coming out. We're going to get right into the movie and how he did it, how he started, sustained, and succeeded is what this show is all about. Chicago Blaxican, how you doing, my bro?
What's up, brother? How are you, man?
Blessed by the best. And I'm just, you know, when you reached out for my client, who I hope we can do something on that as well, and looking
Bill
into
Scott. Bill Scott.
Yes, sir.
I like him. I like you too, but I like him. That's what drawed my attention. I was on YouTube one day and I hear him talking about Chicago. He's very well spoken and he's sincere. He has a lot of passion on wanting to fix stuff.
He does. And hopefully we can connect y'all too. But, you know, your movie, and you had, you know, let me know, because I was like, man, you should have put him in the movie. And you're like, you know, the budget, it's already done. But can you tell the people, let's just start with making a movie, right? We might go back. We might talk about, you know, some of the things, how they've targeted you, you know, for a stunt, as they call it. But I really want to get into, well, no, let's get into it all real quick. Here you
I
have
actually
a movie.
Like that you brought that up. You're bringing up some very good stuff that I had no idea anyone would bring up. But it was in the back of my head, so I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, we could talk about that. So Channel 2 here in Chicago, they have a news anchor named Brad Edwards, and I love him. I like him. He's like you. He's like Scott. He has passion. He has a story, too. When the news and the media puts out a story, I finally learned that they do not tell all of the story, or I should say actually proved it. They said that helicopter I did was for a stunt. I'm not a stunt man. I'm not Evel Knievel. It wasn't a stunt. That's just very uneducated to say, because it wasn't a stunt. That helicopter was for a movie. I had to get a helicopter pilot. I had to get a helicopter. And he also had to have a federal pilot license, because you can't just go taking a helicopter and putting it approximately 15 feet away from the John Hancock and the Willis Tower. So for them to say that it was a stunt when it was for a movie and I took all the time out, I'm just sitting back like, how many people of my peers in Chicago actually believed I went out of my way to do a stunt when it was for a movie? Why couldn't you just say it was for a movie instead of just, I don't know if they lied. I think it was a lack of research. A lot of
people. Well, no, it's wording, because also in that same report, they say wannabe rapper. And I'm like, what is a wannabe rapper? If you get in the booth or you freestyle, even on the corner, you are a rapper. What is a wannabe rapper?
So they don't like the name Blaxican. That name has been following me since seventh grade. And I came up with that name in seventh grade because I saw how the black and brown community was and still is being mistreated. And there's a lot of people who love that name. They say it's strong, it's powerful, it's intelligent. I see what you're trying to do. But keep in mind, I've gotten trouble for that name. So to certain people, and I'm not going to name their race because I have friends in all races, and it wouldn't be fair to that for I wouldn't feel right talking to my friends when I talk about the race. Certain people, they feel threatened by that name. They think what I'm trying to do is get black and brown people to attack them. And that's not what I
How?
was trying. Yeah, they don't like that name. I'm blacklisted from almost all the media here in Chicago. People told me that. News anchors have told me that. News anchors, and I'm not going to mention their names. I want to. News anchors in Chicago are extremely nice to me. They're extremely nice to me. They like me. They like what I'm trying to do. They like that I'm exposing the numbers from the state government. But their masters and their producers, who actually pull the trigger on saying what gets aired and what don't, they despise me. They do not like me. They'll never have me on Fox Chicago. They made that clear to me. I had three news anchors who pitched my movie trailer to Fox Chicago and said, this movie's good. He got a helicopter. No one has done that in Chicago besides the movie Fugitive, and they didn't even do it like him. He did it at the Willis Tower. He did it at the Sears Tower. He did it at the John Hancock. This guy got a Chicago movie. No one in Chicago has a Chicago movie. It's not an opinion. That's a fact of life. Chi-Raq don't count. That was Spike Lee from New York. He just came here. Batman don't count. They were from Hollywood, if I'm not mistaken. They just came here to film our landmarks and our locations. I actually created the movie about Chicago gangs, Chicago Southside, Chicago politics, how much money the politicians are making, and Fox Chicago. The masterminds refused to have me on because they, in my very strong opinion, and from what I was told from a news anchor, they don't like that name Blaxican. They think you went too far, I think is what he or she told me.
Well, let's get, people will want to know, okay, Blaxican, is he black and Mexican, or is it just the name? Or because even, your government name that people can look at, they might say, okay, that's not a Mexican name, or that's not a black name, but you could have been adopted, right? So let the people know, like, is it just the name of trying to combine combine,
I'm gonna
the
start
three?
using that one, brother. I never used that one. Yeah, I could have been adopted. I like that. No, so what happened is I went to Abbott Grammar School. So I came from Bridgeport, Chicago, and I went to Healy Grammar School, but I got kicked out of Healy. So then they sent me to Abbott Grammar School. Now, Abbott Grammar School is no longer existing. You can't find it on Google. Now it's a military school or an Air Force school. That school, Abbott, was right across the street from the Robert Taylor Homes, which is the second worst projects in Chicago from after Cabrini Green. The point of sending those kids to, including me, to Abbott is to get beat up by the real gangsters who, that's just the reality of it. They didn't beat me up. I don't know why. Still from this day, I grow older and I'm thinking I could have died. I could have, I was helpless. I just started playing basketball and started rapping, and I came up with the name Blaxican. So 50 Cent is not two quarters. Eminem is not a bag of candy. Snoop Doggy Dogg is not a dog. Dr. Dre is not a doctor. Chicago Blaxican is not black. It's just a name. I never once said that I was black. I don't want to be black. I mean, that being black, you got a lot of strikes against you. Believe me, I know. It's a name. It's a powerful name. It's a name to say, who is this? It's a name to say, wow, that's a movement. I've advocated for black people as far as I could remember because I saw firsthand what they went through, and I didn't like it. From the prison system to the war on drugs to weed, because so many people were selling weed, a nickel bag, a dime bag, and they'd get arrested. They'd get a felony. They go to jail, which is a new form of slavery. And I'm just sitting back like weed's not even a drug. But nevertheless, this is just a new form of slavery. Now all of a sudden, they make weed legal because they realize they can get money from taxes from it the same way they. they did alcohol back in the prohibition days. So I just wanted to advocate for black people and Mexican people. That's what I can do. That's my name. It's not changing. And again, there's a lot of people who love that name. I had program directors from radio stations tell me that name is powerful. That name
I
is.
dig it. I dig it. You think different. You're an outlier. You're the type of people we like to have on this show because you were really living when they told us, we could be anything or row, row, row your boat. Life is but a dream. And what your dream is out the box. So you are going to be a weirdo to folks because you don't want to step in line and just be, whoever they think you should be. But I dig it. But with that, comes the hate. I'm sure it's always been like this. I'm sure the things at, as a teenager of kind of being out the box and people saying, can't you just focus on this, but you want to do something else? That is what has got you here to this day. How have you been able to handle that mentally? I mean, you've been, American Greed, that's national, that's international, and you starred in your own episode, which I think you're the only one to do it. I haven't seen anyone else do it. And, how do you maintain and say, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, even though they call me these names. You're free to this day. So you're not Bernie Madoff, right? You're here.
Yeah, I'm still going. I got another couple things going on that's going to be bigger than American Greed. So yeah, I'm still here. What bothers me, I mean, there's a good side to it, there's a bad side to it. What bothers me is when I created the name Chicago Blaxican, I know why I did it. And still in 2023, black and brown people, they're still getting the shorter end of the stick. There is good news though, because the media, and I got friends in corporate America, and I got some friends who work for the government, and I hear their stories. They're some of the smartest people. The media is saying the black and brown community. That's the new word now, black and brown. Okay. And I'm just sitting back, like, I'm so happy that you guys are finally figuring this out. That's good. Better late than never. But what about Blaxican? Can we talk about that? Because I've been figuring this out in the late 80s. You guys are just now playing catch up, but the name Chicago Blaxican, the news networks, something about it, they don't want to put that on the screen. The news anchor told me directly that you're blacklisted from Fox Chicago here in Chicago because they don't like that name. I'm like, okay.
Well, they don't like you because you think different and you move different. And let's get into that because people will look at American Greed and say, oh, this guy's a scammer. Why are we even listening to him? But I have a, not to tell all your business, but there's secret millionaire crypto investors or real estate investors, right? Like, what can you let that 14-year-old know that even though they're talking about you right now, they're going to have to follow you later? They're stuck in the mustard trying to catch up. But let them know, like, how do you make income on movies? How do you raise money
Not.
to do that? Because we're not going to let American Greed or CBS tell the story. I want you to tell the story on how you raise money, how you make money day to day, because you're free and you're talking about it. So I doubt that you're, on the block on the corner, being a whoever, Scarface.
Right. So the first thing that you mentioned, and thank you, that these are good topics and questions that you're asking, by the way. There's not many people at all. I haven't met one person. There's not many one person at all who's saying he was on American Greed. Why should we listen to him? It's the opposite. I have people who love the story on American Greed. When I was in prison, and you know this, when you're in prison, they know what you're in prison for. They know what you're charged with. And if you're charged with hitting a woman, your prison stay, you're going to do some hard time. If you're charged for any little kid weird stuff, you're going to do some hard time. You're going to get beat up practically. Your life is in immediate danger. With me, I was the biggest superstar in my prison after Larry Hoover because the correctional officers told me there was only two famous people here, Larry Hoover and you. So obviously Larry Hoover is Larry Hoover, and I was the one who they say stole $2 million. So when you hear someone who's been charged and the state government, by the way, the state government says you stole $2 million, you had it in cash. All eyes are on me, like Tupac. The correctional officers even said, man, you're only doing 2 more years here. When you get out, you can't wait to unbury that money. And I didn't say anything, obviously, because I said, I don't know what you're talking about. But the correctional officers were saying, I would do 2 years and give up my job for 2 million. I had everybody worshiping me in prison, and I'm just sitting because it was state. It was a state prison, and a lot of people couldn't figure out how come you're not in the Fed joint. These are federal crimes that they say you did. Now here's the reality of it. From a rapper's point of view, from my point of view, them saying you stole $2 million, that just means you did a really good job. I'm not a politician, I'm a rapper. I'm supposed to steal. That's what rappers do, at least the ones that I know. I'm supposed to do that. I was in my 20s. That's a good thing. I'm proud of that if I did it. I'm proud of that. Now, that being said, when it comes to reality time, I really didn't steal the money. And I could prove without a doubt 100% that I did not steal the money. If I couldn't prove it, I wouldn't be talking about it. I would be, yeah, I took it. That's it. What are you going to do about it? I had a good life in my 20s. I still do. You're a sucker. That's what I would say. But I didn't do that. The reality of it is, I just didn't do that. So we had a former attorney general here in Chicago, and her name was Lisa Manigan. And her dad is Michael Manigan, who was the House Speaker. Those were the two most powerfulest politicians in the state of Illinois that I don't think anyone can argue. Her dad has been the House Speaker for, I think, 30 years. So he decided to give his daughter a job at the Illinois Attorney General's office to protect him, to protect the king. The Illinois Attorney General's office, part of their duties is to investigate in other corruption from state agencies across the state. From the best of my knowledge, they never indicted anyone in the state of Illinois. And the reason why is because Lisa Manigan, her father is the House Speaker, and he told her, don't investigate me or any of my friends. So that's the when problems started running into me with the media. Besides the name Blaxican, that's when problems started running into me in my life. They saw Lisa Manigan's name on that piece of paper against Blaxican, and they're like, we're staying away from this guy because she's the most powerfulest politician in the state of Illinois with her dad. We don't know what Blaxican's thinking. He's crazy for going up against her. I didn't go up against her. Her prosecutor lied to the grand jury, not once, but twice. And I ordered those grand jury transcripts from the clerk because I knew he lied. I knew it without a doubt. I never, ever, ever, never, ever want anyone to believe anything that comes out of my mouth unless I can back it up with evidence and an exhibit. So when I found out that this prosecutor lied, and I ordered the grand jury transcripts, which is about, there was a certain amount of them. I sent it to the Illinois Attorney General's office 3 years later when I got out of prison. I lost approximately $1.5 million in a civil matter, and I did 2 years and 8 months in prison for that. That was the deal. When I sent it to Lisa, when I got out, someone told me that she said, what the fuck is this? Why would this prosecutor do that? He was told to resign or work at the front desk. And then it became more heavier because obviously I wouldn't stop emailing them and calling them. And then they told him to resign. And I spoke to the inspector general, who is the police for Lisa Manigan and her office, which is not true, by the way, because they go to lunch together. I saw them at a luncheon. I went there. She said, and she told me, Eric, what do you want us to do? The prosecutor doesn't work here anymore. I'm like, okay, well, that's good. He won't lie to a grand jury again, and no one else won't lose 3 years of their life in prison and approximately $1.5 million. What does that got to do with my money? After doing some research, nobody goes against the Illinois Attorney General's office. There's a few politicians who have sued the Illinois Attorney General's office, but they just did that to prove my fact wrong. No one goes up against the Illinois Attorney General's office. No one. American Greed, they did a pretty good job with the show. They didn't mistreat me. They were fine. They were intrigued by the story. I just didn't like at the end of that episode because I had a contract signed and notarized, clearing my name from the person who really did invest the money. Deposit the money, withdraw the money, take the money out in cash. He cleared my name and he said, I'm gonna sign it. I'm gonna get it notarized. I'm gonna go to court with you. You have nothing to do with this. I'm not gonna lie, me and that person had other stuff going on and I fulfilled my end of the deal. So that's why he did that. I had nothing to do with these so-called investors at all. So the only part that's disappointing with American Greed. And the producer, he told me this. He said we didn't have enough time to put that in. What are you going to do afterwards? You can't argue with him. Just don't say that contract was fraud because it wasn't fraud. He signed his name, he notarized it, he went to court with me. The judge was about to see it, and more than likely, the judge was going to say, here's all your $1.5 million worth of stuff back. And he also gave me receipts showing that he had money prior to these investors. So Lisa Manigan's office just didn't like, not Lisa Manigan herself, Lisa Manigan's prosecutor did not like the name Blaxican. He was one of those. Lisa Manigan's prosecutor did not like the fact that I was 26 years old and I was living in practically a $500,000 house paid off for. He couldn't get that out of his head. And Lisa Manigan's prosecutor could not and would not face defeat in a civil matter by someone like me who doesn't have a license to lie or who's not a lawyer. They didn't like the fact that I came out with this a record called Suburban Police, Our Nerds Who Became Cops. He did not like the fact that when I was going to court, I was winning every time. So he just decided to say, fuck this shit. A whole year later, now we're gonna charge him for that contract with perjury and obstruction of justice. And he straight out lied. Black and white, up and down, he straight out lied, and it's on the paper. So
How did you bounce back? Because you got a house that's paid for. We know when they come at you and they knock on the doors, they try to take everything, whether you're guilty or not, and they don't have to give it back always. How do you bounce back? How do you continue to make a living? Because people could say, oh, he took 2 million or he took 3 million, but it's been
It was
so many
two.
years. It's two.
They say it was 2 million.
But one of those boards over there might be a $200,000 board, right? You like you're still living, you're still eating. So for the again, this is for that person who might be 14 or might be 44. I'm 40 plus. You have setbacks, but you can always bounce back. And I want to let people know, how did you bounce back? Did you go to McDonald's, Walmart, and say, hey, can I help you? Or what was that hustle that got you back to be able to invest in a movie? Because so many people can't do that for whatever reason. They just can't bounce back.
And that's another reason why I created the name Blaxican, because the prison system, once you enter, statistics shows 85% of the time you will return to prison because of what you just said, you can't bounce back. When I first got out of prison, it was a happy time and a dark place. It was happy because you're not in a cell and you don't have to witness what goes on in the inside of those walls. The inside of the prison walls, Ice Cube said it best. People get racist in the inside of those walls. I'm in Southern Illinois. There is some correctional officers, not all of them. I made friends with a lot of them. I miss some of them, to be honest with you, because you spend every day practically with them for 2 years. Some of them don't like black people or Mexican people. So you're right. You don't bounce back. It was a dark place for me when I got out, but I still knew and I still know, believe it or not, there are some powerful people who like me. And they like me for many reasons. And they told me this. They said, you went up against Madigan. You went up against the Madigan family. You trolled the Madigan family. No one has done that in Illinois the way you have. And you went up against Madigan when this first happened. Now Madigan's indicted. He lost all his friends. The FBI got him. And Lisa Madigan's like in a bunker somewhere, heavily medicated, from what I hear, just laying low. His trial is in April. And she's probably thinking, are they going to get me too? Like, as far as indict her. But now that it's all said and done, I got all these people saying, wow, you were right. You were right this whole time. I'm like, I mean, yeah, I figured it out. I was right because look what they did to me in 2006. I remember. So to answer your question, how I bounced back is I have a great family, I have a great surrounding. And I know it probably doesn't seem this way, but I hang out with a lot of powerful, smart white people, and they're millionaires. They got money, and they're business people, legal, legitimate business people. The one thing that we have going on that I would never do, by the way, they invite me to their home, they invite me to their family parties, they all love me. They say, just never, ever, ever, never, ever be seen with me in public and say my name. All right. So I got a lot of friends who have a lot of money who really like me. And I got the best recording studio in Chicago when you bring that up. The studio is like $150,000. That the movie cost $150,000 to make. I'm not making any money from this movie. I spent $150,000 to fix Chicago. I'm not making a dollar from this movie. I spent money. I would have $150,000 right here if I didn't spend that on the money, if on the movie. The way to fix Chicago, one of the things you have to do, if you have a message, rap is a good format, making a song is a good format. Texting is a good format. Threatening someone is a good format to get your message across. Threats, they go a long way. Even if they're empty threats, they still go a long way. Brad Pitt said the best way to send a message out if you're trying to fix something is make a movie. So I said, okay, I'm not a movie guy. I'm not a camera guy. I didn't go to school for a movie guy. I didn't go to school for anything, to be honest with you. There's kids and people who legitimately went to film school to learn how to do this. I didn't do any of that, but I knew I needed to listen to Brad Pitt and his advice and make a movie. So in this movie, all the numbers that the state government is getting money-wise is in that movie. So when you hear that a 7-year-old black girl got shot through a drive-through McDonald's over here in Chicago. The average person says, "Well, that's very disturbing, especially when you see her picture. It just makes you cry. It makes you angry. It just upsets you." I do some research and I figure out how could have this been prevented? How do we fix this? Why is this still happening? This has been happening since the 80s. I find out how much the state government is making from all of this. It's over $1 billion a year. So if crime stops in Chicago, there's going to be a numerous amount of state employees out of a job working normal jobs like us. There's over 63,000 state employees that make over $100,000 a year just because you know someone there. So pretty much if I work at the state government and I say, "Hey, I like you. He's a good interviewer. I wanna hire him. He's my friend. You want a job? Here's $100,000 to start off with." And that's what they did 63,000 times practically.
Okay. Well, we're not gonna hate on everybody's hustle. Our company does government contracting. I tell people it's all about your network, and you've proven that with saying, it's the surroundings that you have that can bounce you back, that can give people say, wait, you own a studio. How much money can you make? You guys Google ChatGPT, but if a studio engineer can make 70,000 or 100K, you can imagine what the studio owner can make. And I want to highlight that because you didn't say you were a producer of the music, but if you own the studio, and for all we know, you got to keep your house, right? Or you were able to get another house, that this is how you bounce back, keeping a good network, doing good business, or just being a good person to the right people. We have to stress that because in America, when you can get anything that you want, if you work hard and you stay focused, and you shake the right hands. I say tell people keep prayer first, but they listen to the pastor, but they don't apply those scriptures. When you made this movie, and I really want to highlight this movie
Prayers
because I
work.
want to see if you're going to come to the NATPE down here in South Florida, which is the National Association of Television Producers and Executives. They do not pay me to say this, you guys, but I love their conferences and they help people. Are you going to be pitching this movie to, NATPE or MIP or anything after the release?
So I own the rights to Operation Chicago. I own the copyright papers from copyright.gov, and I own three trademarks from the federal government, USPTO. A lot of people didn't believe me when I said that, and they looked it up. It's public record. Yeah, this guy owns three trademarks, which cost thousands of dollars, by the way. I don't mind giving that away because I'm kind of tired of Chicago. I want to move. I figured everything out that I need to figure out. And if I have to fix it, that means I'm going back to prison. And I'm not going back to prison for this. I can't fix it. They don't want it fixed. So it's just unfortunately the way it is. So to answer your question, am I going to be pitching it? I heard some people want the name Operation Chicago so they could do what they want to do with it. What that may be, I don't know. I mean, it depends on who it goes to. It depends on if it has a good home. I spent a lot of time and obviously a lot of depression and research and money into Operation Chicago. So I just don't want it to go to just anybody. I don't know if I'm I don't know what I'm gonna do with it. I had WGN come to my recording studio. They have the number one station in Chicago. They love me. I like them, I should say. And he watched my whole entire movie and he even brought up, you own the rights to this. You could sell it when you're done with it. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know if I pitch
Okay.
it to them, what are they gonna do? Like, I'm not making money from it. I'll be honest with you, and I should have told you this from the beginning. According to a simple Google research, the population in Chicago is approximately 2.5 million people. I think it's more, but we'll say 2.5 million. My only goal and agenda was to get this movie to 2.5 million people in Chicago. If Florida likes it, that's good. But I'm trying to fix Chicago. I'm sure there's a Florida Blaxican roaming around the street somewhere over there. What Florida thinks about the movie, I'm sure they're gonna like it, but
Oh, wait, let me stop you. No, the NATPE is an international thing. It's where the buyers come for movies. That's why I say that. So it's where the buyers come, you shake hands at the Fontainebleau is where it's been. This last year or during COVID, they went bankrupt. So there hasn't been one inside the country. It was virtual at one point, but that's why I say the NATPE or MIP, which is in France. It's kind of like Cannes Festival, however you guys want to hear that as Americans, because I know you'd be like, Kevin's, that's not French, but it's a conference where the buyers come. So I've even met like Byron Allen and all the big buyers come out, and I want to say Mr. Dungey from Urban Home Entertainment and his son Trey. I'm sending you this trailer. So check your email. Those are my people that it's the only black distribution company that I know of in this country. I'm sending it to them. They got a massive catalog. But that's why I say that, because that's where the buyers will be. And that's the whole purpose of a conference like that. It just happens to be here in Miami.
All right, yeah, no, thank you for educating me on that one. Yeah, I mean, I'll talk to everybody and anybody.
I'll send you some information and you can make a decision. And there's some other, festivals, but I can just vouch for the NATPE for being what they say. A lot of people say MIP is better, but most people aren't willing to leave this country to go either to Mexico or in France where it's at. And when you say you're getting tired of Chicago, man, I say look international. The writing is on the wall for America. We all have to have options. Get your money here and spend it somewhere else and save it and invest it other places, diversify. With this film though, are you a filmmaker? Do you consider yourself like I'm going to be making films for the rest of my life?
Not at all, one bit, man. I met some really good people in this process of making this movie. It took about 3 years, 3.5 years to make this movie. I met a lot of interesting people. I met a lot of film people. The problem that I ran into is, let's just say you have $100,000 in cash. And when I was starting this film, I wanted to give it to one company and say, hey, I got $100,000 in cash. I need to make this movie. Here's a script. I know what I'm doing. Can we do this? There's not one company that will take $100,000 in cash and say, yeah, we know how to do everything. I had to find a numerous amount of different people. This camera guy, this sound guy. He has this equipment, this editor, this. There's just not one company that does it all. So that's one reason why no one in Chicago has a movie. Because there's not one company that does it all. I kid you not, from what I'm told and from what I see, I'm the first person in Chicago with a movie, which is pathetic because I'm not even a movie maker. I'm an engineer. I'm a producer. I'm a beat maker. I'm a rapper for fun. I love making beats. My passion is music. My passion is keyboards. My passion is engineering. So I don't know if you remember this, and this piece is my baby. See that tape machine right there?
Oh, yeah.
That's the same tape machine that they used in the 90s. That's the same tape machine that Tupac used. That's the same tape machine that Metallica used. That tape machine brings out the dynamics of your vocal. So what I really want to get into is all of these rappers and singers, their job is to sing and rap. And that's it. Nothing more, nothing less. They're not supposed to know what goes on in here. They have these computer programs called plugins, like $20, $30. They got Pro Tools. And I'm just sitting back like, your vocal is not a robot. It's not digital. So our vocals don't go on to a digital domain. Because we're not from a digital domain. If we were AI, AI goes into a digital home. We're analog. So if I were to cut your vocals and make a rap song or a record, all your rap vocals goes on that 2-inch tape machine, and it just makes it fatter and larger and louder. And that's one reason why rap records and any records for that matter, that's one reason out of many. Records sold more in the 80s and in the 90s. It's more real. It's not harsh on your ears. It was in the mix. There was a sweetness to it. Now everyone's recording their vocal in a digital machine, and it's just hard to listen to. It's harsh. It's just annoying. And plus, they make it louder too, which they shouldn't do. That's what I'm really trying to get into, is engineering singers and rappers, and those kids who played the acoustic guitars and electric guitars. The other important piece in my studio that I love more than anything is those two preamps right there. Those are the Neve 1073s. So most rappers don't know who David Grohl is from Nirvana. Some do, some don't. David Grohl from Nirvana, I don't think no one could argue that he's number one rock band in the era. And he's super intelligent. Sold millions of records, tour guy, he's a good soul. He went on 60 Minutes and he said if it wasn't for this mixing board right here and those preamps, he may not be here today. There's something about those preamps that are hot, that are fat, that are larger. It takes your vocal and it puts it in the front row of a concert, and it amazes rappers and singers. He has a whole board full of those preamps. I have two, which is good for me because they're like $35,000 if you could even find them. They made fake ones. That's how good they are. So I want to produce. I want to engineer. I want to bring back music. I want to make a hit song. I don't want to do movies no more. I'm all movied out.
What you're saying, Lev Berlak, when I used to write for Explosive Magazine, shout out to Ron Hood, who he's produced for Mac Dre, Richie Rich, everybody, Mobb Thick is everybody. I'm from Oakanda, that's Oakland, California. After you see Black Panther, he said what you're saying about the sound. I'm not a sound guy. I can't hear it. That's why you guys, when you hear this podcast, it sound like it does sometimes. But he talked about how even like the DJ board, he's like, I use vinyl still to this day. This is 20 years ago. He's like, I still use vinyl because of the sound and the pops and the, I want to hear that. And then we can do everything with the digital age. So I feel you, and you're not the only one. With the international music though, we're seeing like K-pop is explosive. But it's because of producers going over there, giving that sound. You could go to anywhere. Have you looked internationally to say, you know what? Okay, I am tired of Chicago. Let me go internationally and take my money, which in many places is going to 3x or maybe even 10x in some places.
I don't really need money. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm not.
Well, not for the money, but for the, I just want to get away from being judged or prejudged and people looking at my past, because you could take, $100,000 in some countries and be like, I'm good right now. And then I'm gonna, if you're a blue blood and you don't need money, it's even better, right? Because you get to, I don't have to work. I'm chilling, or I got royalties, or whatever the case may be. But, have you looked overseas? Because the American sound is popular everywhere. I mean, it's Asia, it's Africa, Afrobeats is taken from, and that's a controversial thing to say, because they'll say rap was started in Africa, whatever, y'all. We can debate that later. But that American sound, wherever you go, you'll be the man. Every time I leave this country and I bring people, they're like, I'm the man. I'm like, you were always the man. You just didn't know it, like Nip said. You just needed a platform to explain it.
If anyone wants to reach out to me from any other country or state for us to talk about making one song, not an album, one song, I'm more than welcome for them to hit me up wherever they would like. It takes me approximately, and it takes Dr. Dre the same thing from what I heard. I never met Dr. Dre, but I met people who work with him. I said it takes me 3 weeks to mix a song because you leave the studio, you come back, and you make sure this is right. It's your baby. You got to invest in it. And that person said, "That's how long it takes Dr. Dre. I worked with him for a whole season. He left the board the same way you did." And that's probably one reason why Dr. Dre is who he is. Great minds think alike. It takes 3 weeks to make one song. So when someone tells me, "Can we make an album?" I'll be married to you for a half a year. And I can't be married.
Yeah, and they say Dr. Dre may not ever release that song. But when we talk about releasing and getting blessings and the bounce back, the blessings that come, what's a community give back that you're doing or that you would like to do in the future?
So I don't make and I know I said I don't make no money from the movie. I don't make no money from anything that I personally put out. Someone will pay me to ghostwrite a beat for them, which I've done many times, and not talk about who I did that for. Other people will pay me for other stuff to use the studio. That's what I'll take money for. But as far as the rap that I put out, personally, I'm doing that for fun. So my only agenda for the community to give back is I just hope they listen to the actual message in that song. For an example, the United States prison system song that I wrote. I just hope that they listen to the message in that song and they see how much the prison systems are getting. If I'm not mistaken, I don't have my notes in front of me. In the year 2016, the Illinois Department of Corrections has made approximately $850 million a year, if I'm not mistaken. First of all, it's not correcting anybody. That's a lie from the start. That's the image. That's a lie. It's just a lie. It's black and white. It's not correcting anybody. Second of all, $850 million a year to lock up. And let's just be honest here, the majority of the people that are locked up are black and Hispanic. It's just a new form of slavery. I don't care what anybody tells me. Murderers should be locked up. Rapists should be locked up. A lot of people shouldn't be locked up. But it's $850 million that they get. So that's what I would want back from the community. The ghetto, the city, is just follow the numbers that I provide. And then you're sitting back, the next domino. All right, he provided us these numbers. He provided us this information. Our jaws are dropped. Now, what's the next step? Well, the next step is to go to the lawmakers and peacefully reach out to them and say, hey, we want to change this. We want to put a stop to your new form of slavery. It's the slave ship. Ice Cube said it best. It's a concrete slave ship. It's not a slave ship anymore. It's concrete slave ship.
And if it's not it, the black, brown, and especially the poor and mentally ill, so many people, listen to me, y'all. The mentally ill should not be locked in. You should be getting help. There should be help. If we can help everybody else, we should be able to help here. And I've worked in mental health, in a prior career for about a decade. The mentally ill should not be locked up in the same thing. They got different issues that it's not fair. You might as well put them on an island or, call it the next Australia. I want the people not to get too much of the game. I want them to see this movie. How can they see this movie? Is it going to be streamed online, YouTube, Tubi, and this is before you get your deal, because I'm sending this out. Like, I want you to get a deal. I want you to get the whole gamut, because these hood movies become classics. And I haven't even seen the movie yet, y'all, but when I saw that helicopter, then I saw the news report, and I put two and two together to say he was shooting a movie. It just makes sense. But again, they're going to be your best marketers, and the scriptures tell you, man, they'll try to, what they thought was for your failure is going to be really your setup. I'm paraphrasing, y'all. But how can they see this movie? Do they have to purchase it? Do you plan for it before your deal to be free.
No. So one way you could see the movie is it's going to be at AMC Theater, River East 21, this Halloween at 6:30. And that's here in Chicago, because that was my demographic of audience. That was my focus. After it plays for free, by the way, you don't have to buy any tickets. It's for free. You walk in AMC, you say you're here for Operation Chicago. The manager already knows because we set that up. After it plays at AMC, I'm going to upload it to the YouTube channel, the Operation Chicago YouTube channel, for free. Everyone's telling me, sell it, man, sell it. This is a good sh this is you're right. It's a class. This movie, I filmed in Al Capone's jail cells in Cook County, and everyone's asking me, how did you get inside Cook County Jail in Al Capone's jail cells? I filmed where he stood at in the old jail cell. So that's classic by itself. All the other questions that I get flooded with is, how did you get a helicopter by the Willis Tower? How did you even film inside the Willis Tower, aka the Sears Tower? No one has filmed inside the Willis Tower that I know of. I looked it up. I'm the first one to film inside the Willis Tower from what I hear for a movie. So it got some powerful stuff to it. It's a Chicago film. I got Chicago gang members from Inglewood. Not fake. They literally came from Inglewood. And I got both. I got GD and Blackstone and Beatty, if I'm not mistaken. I got ex-Chicago detectives in the movie. Not fake. They were real ex-Chicago detectives. I got an ex-guy who investigated the mob back in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken. He's in the film. So I think you're right. It's a hood movie. It's classic. It's educational. It's fun. It's funny. As far as the deal goes, I don't know. Like I said, I'm good with money. I got everything I want. I got everything I need. I'm okay with money. I just want to get the message across. That's all I want to do. It's free. It's free.
You guys, this is gonna go down as a great interview in movies. You guys know it was a few weeks ago I released the interview with Uwe Boll, who's raised over 400 million. Now we have the Chicago Blaxican, and if you hear, everything is about giving and what he can do for others. This is somebody who's living inside of their purpose, no matter what you may Google and see. I don't want to get all the game out because I want to save something for Say Cheese and Vlad and everybody else to, ask their type of question. So, and I'm gonna let Chicago Blaxican, write his book and then do the audiobook so he can go full detail on that. So that's where we're gonna end it. Chicago Blaxican, let them know again where they can find you.
You could find me at operationchicago.com. I live on YouTube. If I'm not doing YouTube videos, I'm watching YouTube videos. So if you go to operationchicago.com, the YouTube link is on that website, or you can just go to YouTube and type in Operation Chicago, and I'm the first one that pop up. I'm not hard to find.
Not hard to find. Pleasure to talk to. Easy to talk to. You guys, this isn't one of those podcasts where it's going to be a whole bunch of cap. We're asking, so where did you hide the? Again, that's not the point. It's to inspire you to show how people start it, sustain, sometimes even have a stutter step, and then succeed. So with that, y'all, make sure you subscribe. I know I got more listeners, but we're going to push for that YouTube to bounce up. Make sure that you like the video so it helps in the algorithm. And if you do nothing else, share this game with somebody. It will change their life. Y'all be blessed.
Are you tired of the rat race in America? Are you ready to visit the motherland to relax and rejuvenate? Are you ready to explore all that Africa has to offer? Then check out the brand new Diversified Game Academy course. Prepare for my first trip to Africa. Are you worried about being able to afford the trip? We got you. We will show you how to travel either on a budget or as a baller. Learn how to stress the value of the USD. Did you know that 100 United States dollars is worth over 1,000 South African rand or 10,000 Kenyan shillings? Or 54,250 West African CFA? Are you worried about taking your kids? Get the game from Kellen Cash, a bona fide world traveler, having traveled to almost 20 countries, several of those in Africa. Get the game on taking your kids on their first trips. Learn how to find the best tickets, get the visas, and plan your own adventures in Africa. Don't let Eddie Murphy have all the fun. Plan your own coming to Africa trip starring you, produced by you, and featuring you. If you are ready for a life-changing experience, sign up for our course today, Diversified Game Academy. Get prepared and purchase at diversifiedgame.com.
Hi, everyone. Have you ever been curious about visiting Africa? Which African country were you interested in? Kenya, Nigeria, Uganda, South Africa, Ethiopia? Which country are you interested in? My good friend, Kellen Cash Coleman, came up with a course called My First Trip to Africa that'll guide you through this process. It's only $20, and in this course, you'll learn about passports, visas, vaccinations that you need before you go there, as well as a budget, how much the trip is going to cost. He also talks about what you should pack, what you should take with you, how you should travel on a budget. Did you know that $100 is worth 1,000 South African rand and over 10,000 Kenyan shillings? So imagine what you can do with $100 back home. I say back home because I'm from Sudan, I'm African, I already know how it's like. I know that, you know, when you convert Canadian and American money, it goes a long way when you're traveling across Africa. So if you're curious, if Africa is a place that you've always wanted to go, always wanted to move there, Kellen Cash is the person to ask. Check out the course, there's a little preview you can listen to before you actually purchase it. If you're interested in this course, visit www.diversifiedgame.com. Don't miss out.